can see that already the item we are going to be briefed about is here. There's only one item that will be presented to the portfolio committee. And as you can see it there, but it will still be necessary for us to adopt the agenda so that there's nothing that we are leaving to chance. Any proposal for adoption of the agenda?
Chairperson, I move agenda.
I'll second, Chairperson.
Honorable Singh, who is seconding? Honorable
Winkler.
Honorable Winkler. Yeah, thank you very much. I can see there's objection. And let me welcome the department. In my list, I can only assume, oh, I can see the minister. The minister is there. Honorable Winkler, welcome. And let me assume Honorable Deputy Minister as well, and the acting DG and team. You are all welcome. We would like you to take us through this important item, which is actually trying to help us understand what happened after reconfiguration and the process, and at what stage are we now, and what we should look forward to. With us, we just take the order by the president to say we now have a department called Environment, Forestry and Fisheries. The actual task now to make sure that this happens, we may not know, and we may also underestimate what is involved. So this is why we have this opportunity, so that we are almost equal in terms of understanding. Welcome, Honorable Minister, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to you and all the Honorable Members. Chair, I'm together with the Acting DG and also the DDG Corporate Services. And I'm going to ask Ms. Dimpo Makotako, DDG Corporate Services, to take the committee through the presentation. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you.
Chair, let me also just say the Minister has another engagement, so she does apologize for today's session. And I myself have to go to another engagement in about 45 minutes. So I will then ask you for your indulgence. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Minister and colleagues. Thank you for this opportunity. I will start the presentation by briefly repeating the background to the integration list, Honorable Chair, which you spoke to briefly, and that is on slide number 3 for the controller. Thank you. As you've indicated, Honorable Chair, there was that announcement on the reconfiguration of the departments, which saw the integration of the forestry and the fisheries functions, which were initially in the Department of Agriculture for fisheries, into the department, which was the Department of Environmental Affairs, which then formed the reconfigured Environment, Forestry and Fisheries. So this reconfiguration process was led by presidency, which basically took on a reconfiguration of the executive and the departments. And this, in the main, spoke to the proclamations. And this process, they had allowed themselves a time frame from the from June 2019 to 2020. So this then culminated in this proclamations that we spoke about. The proclamations themselves have been done and finalized. But as part of the integration process now, which is the work that Chadians had to get into, there was a national steering committee that was convened by Minister of Ministry of Public Service Administration, which I'll keep referring to NPSA from now going on. And part of what they decided need to be done was that the implementation of the integration should be done in two phases. The first phase looked at identifying and ring-fencing their functions together with the concomitant resources, whether it be assets, people that were to be transferred, so that we could then develop what they called a startup structure. The structures were to be finalized by March 2020. The next session, the next phase looked at full reconfiguration of the transferred functions, which then looked at integration. How do you further integrate, re-looking at your organizational structures so that you can address any, if there were duplications that were there, and grouping and a decision on what the final structure of the department would then look like. And the time frame for this was that we were given a time of October to make our submissions to MPSA so that we could then work towards finalization, because that's the start of a consultation process, to work towards finalization and implementation of the set structure by the 1st of April 2021. So that is just by way of background on what we were to do. Now, when we look at next slide, please. The actual integration process, we then developed, we had six work streams that were to do the work. We had a work stream that looked at the human resource management. We had a work stream that looked at infrastructure and assets issues, a work stream that looked at financial matters, one on information and communication technology, one on legal, and one on communication. So this was about of six work streams. In the next few slides, I will talk to some details on the work of these work streams. Suffice to indicate at this point that phase one was concluded with a startup structure, which was inclusive of the forestry and fish functions. And that was submitted to the MPSA for concurrence. This included a joint submission for ring fencing, as was said, of the assets, systems, the resources that were all required. And this was signed off by the HODs of the departments, then the CFOs and the executives, the executive authorities there. It was submitted to MPSA, and MPSA subsequently concurred on the 15th of November. So phase one was concluded within time frame as indicated in the guidance by the MPSA. We then commenced with the second phase of the process, which focuses, as I've said, on the reconfiguration of the structure. And part of this is we then review whether our structure is for purpose. In other words, will it enable us to meet our mandate? We looked at which functions can be meshed if we are to eliminate duplications. And we also then decided to start grouping homogeneous functions so that we can then have efficiencies in the department and cluster things together. The first draft has been submitted for MPSA for consultation, as I've indicated. This draft was due end of October, so we did submit by end of October, and we have now in the process to finalize the structure with consultations, which I'll talk to the details of later on in this presentation. And we are hoping that by end of March, we would have finalized the structure so that we are ready for implementation in April as required. I thought I should just talk to then go into the work of the HR or HCM work stream, just talk to what were the functions that were identified to be ring-fenced. As we would know, there were functions from forestry and natural resource management. And in the main, this was for forestry, we were looking at a unit that was responsible for forestry operation, and this then had a presence in different provinces, Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and we also included other regions, but we did not cover all the nine regions in terms of the offices that we have or what we had captured. The second aspect looked at forestry development and regulations, which basically focused on commercializations and issues around small-scale forestry, as well as regulatory and oversight functions. The third unit that we were looking at was a unit around woodlands and indigenous forests and management. So those were the units that we were identified from the then DAF to be units that would be moving to environment. On terms of fisheries, the entire unit on fisheries was then to be moved to the new department of DEF. It was around aquaculture development, monitoring and control surveillance, marine resource management, a unit that focused on fisheries research and development. So we looked at these functions, we identified the resources that were linked to these functions, and all such resources were then to be transferred to the new department. The other consideration was the fact that there were support services that were supporting these functions in the department of DAF. Specifically for fisheries, these were already reinforced and clustered together with the fisheries, but for forestry, they were then part of the broader organogram of the then organizational structure, the DAF organizational structure. So when we looked at the people now and the posts that were available, which is on the slide, our finding was that the forestry unit had a total of 1,587 filled posts. And they had about 229 vacant posts, which meant their total establishment was 1,816. For fisheries, when we looked at the field, we ended up with a total establishment of 586. I spoke briefly about the support or the corporate services functions that were identified, and it was then indicated that there was a total of 88 posts that would then be transferred to the new department. What I would want to highlight at this point is that while we got these figures on the total establishment, there were posts that were on the structure, but it was then indicated that there was no funding for such posts. And therefore, in line with the NMOC or the reconfiguration principles, it was then agreed that post would not be transferred to the new department. This in essence meant that those posts were being abolished. You would see that I'm saying for forestry, that was a total of 356 posts, and for fisheries, that was a total of 157 posts. So we finalized the process with that challenge in terms of the posts. Now in the new department, we then had to decide what is the best way of dealing with the situation. So I will then in the next slides talk to how we then resolved this challenge in the department. So what we then did is we reviewed, starting with the fisheries functions, where there were bulk of the posts that were not funded, were strategic posts that we require in fisheries for them to be able to achieve their mandate. We then embarked on the process of prioritization or reprioritization in the department to identify whether there were posts that we could repurpose in the old department so that we could create the strategic posts that were required for fisheries unit. The other complication for the fisheries unit was that the operations of fisheries are funded through the Marine Resource Fund, which has been established in terms of the Act. And the fund is actually a Schedule A public entity, which is duly registered. This then means they require their separate financial management as they are to submit their own financial statements, and they get audited separately from the department while they still report to the Director General and still account to the executive. But because of this circumstance around them, we then needed to ensure that they have dedicated capacity for financial management. So we did create that capacity. We recreated, we reprioritized our own post internally and created this capacity. We then further looked at what other critical posts do they require? And we ended up with a total of about 63 strategic posts, which we identified that would be critical and they would need. And these were posts around areas of marine inspectorate, that there are issues of compliance, there are or non-compliance in the marine space, and we needed to ensure that we beef up our inspectorate capacity. There were gaps in terms of scientists and researchers that needed to look into this area. And so those are some of the posts that we then needed to ensure that we create, both at leadership level and also for the technical posts that we had. The other aspect that we looked at was that in the department, we already had centralized compliance and enforcement functions in program two. This was to ensure that we can then be more effective, but also to share the resources that we have, because we realize that if each unit has its own compliance and enforcement capacity, we would end up with a bloated structure. So to try and rationalize the structure, we then decided to then centralize these functions. And therefore, what we did is we identified compliance and enforcement capacity that was sitting in fisheries and consolidated it into program two, so that it would form part of that centralized services. Moving to the next slide, please, which then looks at the changes that we did in terms of the forestry structure. So in forestry, we had, as you would have noted, there were a lot of vacant posts, more than 200 vacant posts or so. So what we did is we then repurposed some of the posts, and the considerations that we had in mind was that we are now looking at release aid managed plantations, which would then mean we would have more posts that would have initially needed in the department. But also a critical element for us was to look at the developed forest sector master plan. And what are the priorities in the plan, and what structure would enable us to implement the sector master plan? And so we then had to identify the strategic or focus areas in terms of the master plan and ensure that adequate resource to be able to meet this. One area was around, which is a strategic focus of the master plan, was around expansion of the forestry timber resource. They refer to it as the primary resource in the master plan. And then we had to create posts to ensure, when I started, I indicated that our coverage was not in terms of all with all the provinces. So we needed to ensure that we're covering all provinces. Initially, we had one directorate that focused on Mpumalanga and Limpopo together, one for Eastern Cape, one for KZN, and then the other regions, which is Western Gauteng, Northern Cape, Northwest and Free State, were under one directorate. And we realized that this could be a problem in terms of the scope of this one that ended up with all the other regions having to support all the other regions. So we created additional three directorates so that we could have dedicated directorate for Western Cape, for Northern Cape. We still clustered Northern Cape and Free State, and we had one for Mpumalanga, and the one that then was doing everything remained taking care of a house. So we have a total of eight directorates that support now the regions. The other important aspect was around a sector transformation. So we needed to create capacity to ensure that we are able to drive a transformation in the forestry sector. What we then did, as I indicated, the support functions for this unit were sitting as part of the DAF structure, not necessarily related to forestry. They were part of the 88 that are to be transferred to the department. So what we then did is we integrated the support functions in corporate management services where relevant, and in other areas related to legal services. So we then are still in line with what we had in the department, which is around a shared services model that will provide services to the entire department. But we still factored in the geographical spread of the organization. So we have dedicated support for inland provinces, and we also have dedicated support for coastal regions across the organization, not dedicated to one branch. So we have followed this model even with the fisheries component. The other functions that have been integrated are functions around international relations and sector knowledge and information management. DPSA has given us what they say is the generic function program one. So previously we had this international relations work and knowledge and information sitting under program four. So our approach has been to integrate all of them, centralize, but now place them under program as a separate unit so that we are in line with that DPSA generic guide on what the structure should look like. So we have therefore come up with a structure that we believe fully integrates the forestry and the functions, and that structure is currently under consultation, both with MPSA internally in the department, with organized labor, and we continue on engagements in that structure. We have flagged areas for further rationalization. I'll talk to that briefly now and how we'll then take that forward and ensure that we get to finalization of the structure. So that summarizes, I think, the work of the human resource work team, and that is where the bulk of the work in terms of the integration was. I will briefly just talk to the work or summary of what has been done with the other work streams or whether we've achieved our goals in terms of other work streams, which is on the next slide, please. In terms of the infrastructure and the assets work stream, we have finalized the transfer of assets from DAF to DEF, and all contracts have been sealed. We have done our verification and completed it of all movable assets. And what we are now doing is we have started engagements with the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure on consolidation of accommodation in Cape Town specifically, where we now have different components of the department located in different buildings in Cape Town. And we have started a process, we've submitted our for them. They have started working on a feasibility study and identifying possible areas where we can look at development, whether it's in a PP format, but of a precinct, a government precinct, where then government can be housed in one building for in terms of all the branches that we have. Currently, as I said, we are in different buildings, but what we've done is, because now we manage under one department, standardized our procedures, we've standardized our policies and our routes, so we are fully one department, as it were. This consolidation we are also doing in terms of regional offices, because you would find that the old environment is had under EP or NRM offices in different regions or in different provinces, and DAF also had offices, whether they were for fisheries or forestry, in this difference. So we are now engaging with landlords, and it was public way still in other areas, to try and find a consolidated one accommodation for the department, so that our clients or stakeholders of the department don't have to go to different buildings to access the services of the department. So that is work in progress, which we are still working on. It will be easier in other areas. It may take longer because of availability of offices that can accommodate the bigger numbers. In terms of the finance work stream, the issues of the budget, both national budgets and the cost of employment budgets, have been finalized and transferred to the department. We continue working together. We had an MOA with DAF on some areas where there are things that have been paid before the transfer and those were not paid. and how then we handle that in terms of paying those on a cost recovery model. But we have those arrangements where, with DAF, and we are managing those in line with that. There are further costs that we are experiencing as departments, as government overall, but we are managing this process in consultation with Treasury in the department. Now, as one department saying, this is forestry, this is fishery, this is the old environment. It's one department now. The only difference is on the budgets or the operational budgets of the MLR, which are then, as I said, catered for from the fund, but the management thereof is still happening. In terms of information and communication technology, we had to do assessment of the existing infrastructure, the existing systems, what are the gaps that exist, and how do we then address some of these gaps. There were challenges, and they continue to experience challenges in this area, but it's an area that we are working on, and we've engaged with CETA. There's been interventions to try and fast-track these processes so that we can then ensure that we are all on the same system. So we are now, I can confirm, that we have created same platforms for the department. We have approached National Treasury to ensure that we have now, because forestry and fisheries were initially not getting their services through CETA, but to get them to be on CETA, we needed to acquire additional licenses for that. That has been done. We have started with a process because in some cases we needed to look at fiber lines on the sites that they have. We started the process of installing fiber lines with service providers appointed by CETA for all these areas to ensure that people that are sitting in those offices can access the transversal services. But in terms of their emails and the operations that we're using in the department, they already have access to these, and we are able to do this, and we are transferring, and we've almost done transferring them from their old DAF emails to the new DAF emails. We had an arrangement with DAF that we will then pay DAF for them to, because we didn't want an interruption in terms of the services that the officials were getting. So they were still using the DAF emails, but now we are migrating all of them to the new DAF accounts that we have created. In terms of the legal work stream and policy, we work together as the two departments to look at all the list of all active contracts and litigation matters that were sitting in fisheries and forestry. These have all been transferred to DAF, and they are now being handled in DAF. Now, again, we still work together to consult and get the history, but the files already have been transferred to the new department. Communication, we are branded under the same organization. Even on our website, when you go, you will see that like all other branches, the fisheries and the forestry information is included in the DAF website. So we believe we have, at least while there are still these areas in terms of now the structure being more an internal matter to just make sure that we come up with effective structure for the organization and finalize that structure. In terms of operations, the procedures and the systems in the organization, we have integrated, and we are working as one department. If you can then just move to the next slide. Chair, the next slide, okay. The next slide is just a reflection of what then that proposed structure that I was talking to would look like. As I have indicated, this is a structure that is still under consultation with both with MPSA, whether we've complied with their generic functions. You would pick up, as I've indicated, that we have a unit there that is international governance and resource mobilization, which was initially in program 4, but is now in program 5. We have created the capacity for Marine Living Resource Fund, which is basically the financial management capacity, and it's now supporting directly program 9, but it's to make sure that we have that dedicated capacity to deal with financial matters for the MLRF. And the other thing that you would see is, while I had indicated that you had a total of 500 posts in fisheries management, you'd see you're sitting oddly at around 327 for now. The reason for that is these changes that I spoke about, that the functions that were corporate in nature, we moved to corporate services. the functions that were looking at compliance and enforcement, we moved to program two under regulatory compliance and monitoring. The functions that were dealing with international have moved to the consolidated international, and the others that deal with legal have also moved into executive support, corporate legal, and intergovernmental relations. So that's basically why you'd see the differences in the numbers. The same has happened in terms of the forestry management. Also looked internally now in the department and identified areas, because when you get new functions, it could mean there are also functions that have been duplicated, and those that we may need to then not to contain or rationalize or cluster together again. So we've done that work also internally in terms of the functions that we originally had. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the proposal, Chair. Suffice to say, it is the structure that is under consultation now, and we are hoping that the structure that we come up with will not be totally different from this one that we are proposing at the moment. We'll take the comments and look at the further steps in terms of feedback that we get and what we can then rationalize further. I just wanted to also indicate that I had said there were 88 posts that were identified to be transferred to corporate management services, but at the moment there are 29 posts that have not yet been transferred from the former DAF to DEF. However, there's already an intervention underway to finalize this transfer. And by the time we implement the new structure, we are hopeful and confident that these posts would have been transferred at that time. As our further areas that we have flagged for integration, we have realized that the work that happens under Woodlands management is more or less identical to the work that happens in the diversity and conservation branch, but we are having now further engagements with the two branches to be clear on what are the things that we can still integrate, and if there are vacant posts in those units and yet in one branch they are filled, then this will enable us to realize some savings in that then we will not need to then fill those posts, given also the constraints that we have on compensation budget. I've already indicated that we are having these ongoing consultations, both with the management teams and also with organized labor through our departmental bargaining council. We have already engaged senators that are assisting us with the change management process, because what we've picked up is change is not always easy for people, and we needed to have a way of supporting people as we try to settle, more so when there are changes that are to happen. So the change management process is continuous at the moment, and we've already embarked on that. We've also realized that when we look at the research functions for the fisheries branch and the oceans and coast branch, they are doing research, both of them, in the marine space. And there could be duplications in this area. So we are having further discussions on what we can rationalize in terms of the functions of fisheries and oceans and coast. I'm raising this chair so that if when we come with the final structure, there are these changes, we understand what was the rationale behind these changes. So we, as I've indicated, we envisage that we'll finalize this process by end of March so that we are able to implement by April 2021. And this will then require us to then the process of matching and placing, because there will be instances where people are reallocated in the departments. They don't report in the same branch that they used to report. In some instances, there may be minor change in terms of the functions that they were performing, but this is done. When we do the matching and placing exercise, we do it in consultation with the officials. However, we look at organizational requirements and not necessarily individual preferences. So that is where we are, Chair. We have, I think in a nutshell, what I am reporting is that we have integrated, but there are further areas that we are still working on, and we are within the time frame that's provided by the MPSA in finalization of this integration. That is the end of my presentation, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable Minister, if there's anything before I allow members to raise questions.
No, Chair, I think the presentation is quite clear. Let's allow honourable members to raise questions and issues.
I can see Honourable Singh, number one. Honourable Paulson, you have no hand here, number two.
Okay.
I can see Honourable Paulson. Any other hand?
Yeah. Honourable Winkler.
Honourable Winkler. Okay. Can we start, Honourable Singh?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, and good morning, Minister and colleagues. Firstly, one has to appreciate the invitation, and I think acknowledge that this is work in progress, and also acknowledge, you know, from my own personal view, that this is not just a cut and paste exercise of just taking whoever was somewhere, putting them somewhere else, and continue with business as usual. There seems to be a lot of thought going into rationalization, overlap of functions, et cetera, et cetera. And I think the department has made good progress compared to what agriculture did when they had to take over some of these functions. But having said that, Honorable Chairperson, I like the idea of the work streams and trying to ascertain whether they are going to certain people that may not have a particular responsibility, because you know, that responsibility is taken care of in the general department. So what I'd like to know is, at this stage, would they perhaps know how many staff there would be that would need to be moved from their current functional responsibility to something else within the broad department, because they're off the overlap? So that's the first thing. Second, Honorable Chairperson, you know, I've always had a hang-up about the forestry branch. Always said the forestry branch is over saturated with employees. As it is, there's 1,587 posts that are filled there. And I think, you know, with the release of state managed forestry plantations, etc., DEF has got to sharpen their pencils when it comes to the number of employees in the forestry branch. And, you know, even if it means some of those staff, you know, becoming beneficiaries of state forests, something like that must come up in their planning in the next 6 months. Because I believe, personally, I'm wrong, that that branch is way overstaffed given the responsibilities they have. But just coming back to fisheries, Honorable Chairperson, I think you recall we were dealing with the FRAP process the week before. And we were told that there will be consultants that would required because the department doesn't have in-house capacity. What kind of thought is being given to build capacity within the department? And I heard this last week where they said, well, you know, there might be a bias if it's done within the department because this happened before. But we cannot exist with consultants forever and ever. There's got to come a time where we have responsible officials at the department take their work seriously. And there's no element of bias and complaints like we had before. So I just want to know, to what extent are they trying to build this capacity and do a skills audit within the department? And my last question would be, Chairperson, is that, you know, with the small scale fishes and this whole fishing thing, we heard about Eastern Cape and we heard about KwaZulu-Natal. And we know during the consultation process with the small scale fishes and the so-called recreational fishes, the department didn't have capacity. So what are they going to do to build up capacity in that regard, or either decentralize or delegate some of these functions to provincial authorities? So I'll stop at that. Thank you.
Honorable Winkler.
I think it was Honorable Paulson.
Honorable Paulson. Thank you very much, Hannah.
You can thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Very short.
Okay, I'll go. Thank you very much for the presentation. I'm concerned, yes, that maybe, you know, through a process, some people will be made redundant. So my concern is also, what will we do with those people who are then deemed redundant? In addition to the fact, as Mr. Singh said, that there is a serious lack of capacity within the department to deal with many of the issues in fisheries, for example. So what will happen to, would those people be reskilled? Would they be placed elsewhere? And also the fact that we are reliant on consultants, it does add to the costs of the department. So how will we make use of, or how will we look at professionalizing the forestries and fisheries by having capacity within the department to deal with so many things? And I think, you know, given the fact that we've given this opportunity to now also streamline the options, where we don't want duplications of similar things, like you can't have a communications department for forestry, you can't have a communications department for fisheries and environment, you have one communications department. So obviously there's going to be a lot of overlap. So what will we do with those additional skills, which would now become redundant? Thank you very much.
Honorable Winkler.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I'd like to know, what is the total staff contingent now for forestry and fisheries, taking into consideration that there was a transfer of a number of positions? And then do we have provincial offices for our forestry branches and fisheries branches per province to aid with decentralization and to ensure that capacity on the ground, that everything doesn't land up in a bottleneck coming to the national department? Then with regards to the inspectorate and I think compliance, could we get a list, please, of the individuals involved in the inspector and compliance for the different provinces? And do we have, again, authorities in the province delegated by DEF to deal with issues? Because it's always a problem trying to get hold of the right person for the right province for either fisheries incidents or where there's incidents of timber theft or logging in. And then I'd like to know how this works. I know that there are municipal forests and then there are the state-owned forests which fall under the forestry management. What is the difference between these two streams? I don't understand. Then with regards to, as a part of the drive to increase accessibility, the former and the current departments made several commitments of decentralized management functions through operating offices in provinces with fisheries activity since 2010. This speaks to my previous point. And we would like to know what the plans, costs, and progress is of these revised plans towards the decentralization of forestry and fisheries and their services. Then the next one is, prior to the 2009 cabinet restructuring, inland and freshwater fisheries was mainly by provincial environmental entities. The main priorities were to conserve and protect aquatic resources, but not so much the freshwater fisheries and aquaculture. So how does the department plan to accommodate the development of the inland water resources and while still protecting the integrity of these aquatic ecosystems? Then the responsibility of managing fisheries research and patrol vessels was transferred to South African Maritime Safety Authority because the contract and financial mismanagement in the fisheries branch. Now that marine fisheries research seems to be on the verge of being streamlined, who will manage the vessels? And then one more, the aquaculture development has been skewed in favor of marine aquaculture in terms of legislative and regulatory frameworks, while freshwater aquaculture has lagged behind when it was under DAF. The integration of these should outline how they plan to service both the marine and freshwater aquaculture sectors with the current capacity. The servicing of both aquaculture sectors will be crucial to the upcoming aquaculture development bill. So if that could just be spoken to. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't see any other hand for now, unless somebody wants to raise a hand.
Chairperson, I'm sorry, there's yes. just one question. I forgot, I thought other colleagues would touch on it. But may I ask that question?
Please.
Yes, thank you very much. Chairperson, you know, we've been hearing about the MLRF and the fisheries management branch. Now, I'd like to know, what is the envisaged institutional arrangement between the MLRF, which is an entity, and the fisheries management branch? If I can recall in previous discussions, I don't know if it's Minister, whoever said it, that there is a thinking of, you know, looking at how we integrate this. Either you take the MLRF as an entity and bring it within the full responsibility of the fisheries management branch, or you take the whole fisheries management branch and put it into the entity, because the entity will have its own exco and governance. So I just want to know, what is the institutional arrangement going forward between the MLRF and the fisheries management branch? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Honorable Minister and the team, can we respond?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me just make some comments and then I will hand over to the team. I think the first comment that one would want to make is to assure Honorable Paulson and other members of the committee that it is not our intention to declare redundancies and to retrench. If anything, I think that we would be having staff shortages in terms of all the functions that we would need to perform. And therefore, if there is duration, and if we feel that there are other areas in the organization where we would like to utilize particular employees, we will go through the correct lateral process. You can't just move people. They have to be consulted. They have to agree and so on and so forth. So I think that is one of the reasons that the DDG is saying that there is an ongoing management process, because at the end of the day, these are human beings. They are not units, and they have to be dealt with in an appropriate and correct manner, which gives them job security, also enables development. The second issue that I would want to emphasize, and I think that the acting DG might want to know more on this question of the governance arrangements, but I think that, Honorable Singh, the key problem in fisheries is that we have inherited the Living Resources Fund, which is not in good financial shape. And that constrains what you can do in the branch. And I think that is putting that financial arrangement into good shape. It's a process. Because obviously you have to look at your tariff structure, you have to look at your collection and accounting processes, and so on and so forth. I think what we would be wanting to emphasize to committee members is, while we may need some temporary capacity for FRAP 2021, we may in future want to keep a situation where there is independent oversight over the allocation process. I think that what we have seen, if we are to analyze processes that occurred in 2012, 2013, and processes that occurred in 15, 16, what we have seen is that where there was a centralization of decision-making in the hands of one person, where there was no independent oversight, those processes have led to multiple legal challenges. And I think that going forward, that is what we want to avoid. We want processes that everybody can feel are fair and open. And sometimes you would need to have independent oversight always of those processes. You would need an independent review of the process before you can feel confident to allocate licenses. And it was the absence of that in previous years that really led to a very litigious situation that we find today. Just on the issue of forestry, let me say that the forestry sector plan is currently in the cabinet process. Once it has completed that process, it will be released for public comment. And I think that the idea for public comment and implementation, and I think really the idea, Honourable Singh, is that there should be a situation where there can be land redistribution through that process and where foresters themselves can be beneficiaries. And I think that once we have completed the master planning process at a cabinet level, we would be in a position to be sharing that with the committee and our thoughts on the way forward. Let me also say to Honourable Winkler that all your concerns around the situation with regard to freshwater fishing and freshwater aquaculture are as a result of policy backlash. You would know that we are in the process of developing legislation in this regard, and the legislation should assist us to deal with what we deal with in the rest of the biodiversity economy, which is sustainable use. And I think that it is that absence. Both forestry and fisheries in terms of the constitution are national competencies. We do have centralized offices, but we are not giving powers to provinces. That is not enabled in the constitution. What we would also want to say to honorable members is if you have anything to report, my office is the place to report it. That will enable me to ensure that there is proper follow-up and that the concerns that honourable members have are properly dealt with. So that would be our request to all of you. Please send complaints that you have to my office and we will make sure that these things are dealt with. Let me give over to the acting DG if he wants to make any comments on the governance arrangements before we hand back to the DDG. And Chair, I will ask shortly that I can leave the meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Minister, members. Thank you, Chair. I think the Minister's managed to cover quite a few of the issues or issues of the institutional arrangements. The accounting officer for the MLRF is also the director general. So that integration is a bit of a difficulty under the head of department, basically for the department as well as the entity. So it is a bit of an anomaly in that sense, Chair. But I think the issue of integration goes further than what the minister talked to as well, because there's a fisheries branch and there's also the oceans and coast, and there are also certain overlapping functions there as well, which would need integration. So some of the research aspects, for example, would need to be integrated into a cohesive whole because of the split, between agriculture and environment previously. So that's another aspect that we will need to look at in terms of the overall integration. So I think when ministers mentioned the issue around the finances of the MLRF, and I think that review process will have to take place in terms of looking at the financial constraints. And also the issue around the Act itself and the eventual amendment of the Act, because it's a fairly old Act. And I think when we do look at reviewing the Act, we have to consider some of these institutional arrangements as well as the financing issues in terms of how we take the fund forward. Chair, while I'm on the floor, I think also let me just comment in terms of the trap capacity. I think what we need to bear in mind is that, yes, we do need capacity internally, but what we need to bear in mind that some of these processes only take place sort of on a 5-year, 8-year basis, depending on the rights that are being issued. So the issue then is that as and when we need that capacity, we'll have to draw in that additional capacity. So, for example, if you're issuing a 10-year right or a 15-year right, it's not in the next year or so that you'd need that additional capacity. So I think we must just bear that in mind. But definitely in terms of the internal capacity, there are gaps and we need to address those, Chair. The minister also mentioned the policy gaps in terms of aquaculture, in terms of Honorable Winkler's comment. There is also the aquaculture bill, Chair, that we're currently working on and that will go through Parliament once we've completed the consultation processes, Chair. And then, Chair, I think I'm going to also talk to some of the issues raised by Honorable before I allow Ms. Makotoko to continue with the responses, Chair. We unfortunately don't have a list of the officials from compliance in the enforcement in the forestry and fisheries sector on hand, Chair, but we undertake to make that available to the committee. So we will do that in terms of...
Mr. Abada, I will prefer that all complaints go through my office. Thank you.
Yes, Minister, we'll do that. No problems, Minister. Then I think I've commented on the questions that need a response from my... from my side, ministers will deal with the complaints from the top through her office. So I'm going to hand over to Ms. Makotoko, Chair.
Thank you very much, Acting DG. Thank you, Minister. I think Minister has covered most of the questions, so I will not spend time on those. Safari emphasized on the issue of people being redundant. I would want to share with the committee that we have done a process of skills audit and it's a continuous one that we are looking at, and we will be reskilling and placing people in terms of consultations with them. So there is no one that would be made redundant in the process. As Minister indicated, currently what we foresee is a situation where we will still have a short capacity. So no, we're not necessarily looking at having a supernumerary staff in this area. We have also started a process of personnel verification, which will enable us to then do also the skills audit. Honorable Singh, as I had indicated already, that there were about 150 posts odd that we already re-looked at in the forestry branch, and that resulted in about those posts which were vacant being abolished. So nobody suffered or was impacted negatively in terms of that process, but those were being abolished. As Minister has indicated, with the finalization of the master system plans, we will then have better plan what the way forward is. But we are aware that there could be maybe posts that we could also still be able to save. Honorable Winkler, you wanted the numbers of the complement as it stands now. Forestry at the moment is 1,557. For fisheries, is 363. This is if you include also the financial management. I think the issue of regional presence has been spoken to by the minister. And I think with all the plans and the changes and the legislation also to cater for issues around aquaculture, on the structure as well, you would see that we've already looked at capacity for aquaculture and economic development, and we have about a total of 91 posts that we have created there to cater for that. I think that seems like all has been responded to. I would not want to respond to repeat the responses that were given on others. Thank you, Chair.
Any follow-up, honourable members?
Honourable Winkler, please.
You're number one. Any other hand? I can see that there are some members who are having challenges of connection, but I think we'll talk about it after the meeting. Honorable Winkler, can you raise your
hand? Thank you, Chair.
Follow-up.
And thank you for responding to my question. I just first like to say to the Minister that I'm not trying to play a critical role here. We're trying to all complement one another with our different skill sets to finding reasonable solutions to the various issues that we have across all these programs and entities. And then I just wanted to ask, what is the difference between forests that fall under municipalities and that are mandated by those municipalities and the forests that fall under DEF? And how is that delineated? And what role does DEF then play when there are forests under municipalities? Thank you.
Okay. The last round, any response? It's acting DG.
Chair,
DG. Yes.
Thank you, Chair. We're a little bit out of our depth, Chair, here in the municipal forest issue. And I'll ask that our we do a proper response to the committee in writing. I can talk a little bit to the state forest categories as we had previously presented to the committee chair. So the category A would be the commercial forestries, and the category B and C are different forests, but they're all under state law at the moment, Chair. So in terms of the municipal forest, my assumption is that they would fall under the auspices of the municipalities, Chair. But I'd have to come back. As I said, we are a bit out of our depth. We come back with a formal written response to the committee. So I'd ask that we be allowed to do that, Chair.
No, I think let's accept that, I can see that now. I don't see any further hands. I think generally on the issue of reconfiguration, streamlining, and the process, we are very clear about what is happening. On the areas where there's still concerns, like the structure and others, I think as well would keep our ears on the ground. But I'm sure as you continue, also see the need to take the committee on board. But as for now, I think we are very clear about the process and the critical stakeholders that you must engage as well, and also taking into account our fears. I think the members did express the fears about redundancy and all that, but equally, lining functions, irrespective of people, it is also critical. So with those few words, I think let's appreciate the information, and I think it's going to help us going forward. Members, can I close the meeting?
Yes, Chair.
Okay. Then the meeting officially is closed.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You.